Good morning, friends. It is indeed a pleasure to be coming your way again on this joyful day. I hope that things are going well for you and that the coming of the Christ has meant something real in a personal way to each of you. We might hear ever so much about him, but life will not take on its proper meaning without a personal knowledge of his saving grace. Listen to this poem, The Christ Child. Over the crowded Judean town, the shadows of night gloom darkly down. No room in the inn. The only place for the weary girl with fair young face was a bed of straw amid wandering kine, where was born that day your Lord and mine. No shelter spot, but a stable bare, yet the Lord of Light was cradled there, while a mother with all a mother's charms enfolded him closely in her loving arms. And the days that came were passing sweet for the halting tread of her baby's feet. Oh, my soul grows warm for his dear sake, and hope burns brightly, and I beg him make of me his herald to bear his word till all men everywhere have heard. For now the heavenly host again sings, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I want God's peace for the troubled heart. I want God's will in the busy mart. I want God's love to girdle the earth, for 'tis the time of the Christ child's birth. And the olive branch in his baby hand, he raises to bless a waiting land. We have in our midst the little child. We have the poor and the sin defiled, the wretched, the sick, and the lonely ones, who have known the rise of brighter suns. Comfort and cheer will come to your heart if of your Christmas these have a part. Now, let us turn our thoughts to the Scriptures. These verses from St. Luke, the second chapter, take us back to almost 2,000 years ago when Caesar Augustus issued the decree that all the world should be taxed. So if you think your burden of taxation is heavy, just remember that other folks in other ages have been taxed too. At this particular time, there was one young couple, Joseph and Mary, who went up to Bethlehem from the city of Nazareth. Beginning here with verse 7, notice this account. And she brought forth her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now notice a few things from these verses. I see here by the reading of verse 7 that there was no room for them in the inn. Ponder that thought for a moment. No doubt many were coming and going. The rooming houses were filled to capacity. Folks were busy with their own affairs of life. No doubt much as they are today. Friend, is this not typical of circumstances which exist even in our day? How many folks have room for Christ in their lives? Oh, you say, we're living in a busy time. Could it be that we're so busy with our own affairs that we care nothing about the things of God? Do you remember what Christ said when he told about the man who made the feast? What was the answer given to his servants when they went to invite the guests? One said, I've bought a yoke of oxen. Another had bought a piece of ground. While yet another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. They all, with one consent, began to make excuses. They didn't have time to go. But there's one thing we should never forget, so long as we live. You may not have time for the things of God now while you're engaged in your busy schedule, but there is coming a time when each of us must take time to die or else meet the Lord at His coming. Is your heart and life too crowded to find room for Christ? There's one thing I'm especially glad of, which is this. I am glad that some ungodly person and not yet conceived and convinced the people in that day that they should destroy the thousands of yet unborn children through legal abortion. Otherwise, someone might have come up with the thought that God could not control the population of His own creation, and that they should, by their own hand, destroy those who were yet unborn. It is true that Herod had many of the infant males killed shortly after this, but it's a known fact that this was because of his own jealous and evil heart. Do you know what happened to this Herod the Great? It is reported that by the historian Josephus, that Herod, in a rage, had his own wife slain. Josephus goes on to describe Herod's life in this way, I quote, "Moreover, he bethought him of everything he could make use of to divert his mind from thinking of her, and contrived feasts and assemblies for that purpose. But nothing would suffice. He therefore laid aside the administration of public affairs and was so far conquered by his passion that he would order his servants to call for Mariana as if she were still alive and could still hear them. And when he was in this way, there arose a pestilential disease and carried off the greatest part of the multitude and of his best and most esteemed friends, and made all men suspect that this was brought upon them by the anger of God for the injustice that had been done to Mariamma. This circumstance affected the king still more, till at length he forced himself to go into desert places, and there, under pretense of going hunting, bitterly afflicted himself. Yet had he not borne his grief there many days before he fell into a most dangerous distemper himself. He had an inflammation upon him and a pain in the hinder part of his head, joined with madness, and for the remedies that were used, they did him no good at all, but proved contrary to his case, and so at length brought him to despair." End of quote. Now I want you to hear this verse. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. Do you know why we as a nation have encountered so many reproaches? It is because there is too much sin at the door. I declare unto you that this applies from many of those who are high in authority right on down to the bank robber and the thief. And all of this comes about because there is no room for Christ in the hearts of so many. I say, if Christ has come into your heart, it will bring about a transformation. Dear ones, I wish for each of you peace and goodwill, not only at this special season, but throughout the days and months ahead of your life. May the guiding star of heaven ever open the way before you, and God's peace and blessings abide in your heart, radiating out to others who need help so greatly. Our Father, bless the words of the message to the good of every soul. May Christ be born anew in the hearts of all, especially those who are void of the peace of God. Bless each listener this day in the way which they need most. Thine shall be the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now this poem, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when faith is low and the problem's high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but just don't quit. Life is odd with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. No, don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. And often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. And often the struggler is given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be nearer when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Thank you for taking time to listen. If we may be a help to you in some spiritual way, be sure to let us know. I hope that your holidays will be filled with the peace and love of God, and that you may share your joy and happiness with others who are less fortunate than we are. You know, friends, you can just look about you and you can see so many who have had trials and afflictions and crosses to bear. And then we look at our own and we think, well, the Lord has been good to us. How could we ever complain or murmur against the Lord or turn away from Him? The Lord wants us to be faithful. I like the way the Apostle Paul said it. When he came down to the end of the journey of life, he said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. In that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. We hope that each and every one of you will gird the armor on a little closer, a little tighter, and prepare for the battles of life, because I'm sure there'll be more battles yet to come. We can rejoice in the Lord and prepare for those days when the battles of life will come against us once again, and that He may prepare your heart to face the new year which is just before us. In a few days, it'll be New Year time again, and we'll start the year all over. It just seems like time flies by so swiftly. We hardly begin a year until it's almost time to start another one. So until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.